Today we're wrapping up our series on Jesus' six, you have heard that it was said, statements. And the sixth one today is from Matthew chapter 5, 4 through 8. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Last week, I pointed out that the first four, you have heard it said, statements cast us as the ones who were committing murder, adultery, divorce, and who claim godlike abilities to decide the future. We were the abusers. We were the enemy to God and to others. In the fifth statement, the tables turn. We are the ones who people slap, sue in court, subject to forced labor, and take our generosity for granted. In the eye for an eye statement, Jesus holds the abuser and the victim accountable for their actions. When someone slaps us, it is not good. But if a person slaps us, we can offer mercy and not act in revenge. When someone sues us, it is not good. But if someone sues us, we can act with generosity. When someone forces us into labor, it is not good. But if someone takes advantage of us in this way, we can turn our labor into an act of service. When people presume upon our generosity, it is not good. But when it happens, we can extend favor to others at our own expense. In the sixth statement, Jesus says to us, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The point of this statement is that we should extend to others the same mercy that we hope to receive ourselves when we are guilty of being the enemy to God and to others. Because of our sinful nature, we position ourselves as God's enemies and the enemy of others. In that state, the day will come when we will long for mercy. Children of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, do not get the punishment we deserve. Instead, we find that when our sins are many, His mercy is more. In this passage, Jesus answers three questions. What is wrong with loving my neighbor and hating my enemy? Why should I love my enemy? And how can I love my enemy? For the balance of this message, we will listen to Jesus answer these questions, beginning with the first one. What is wrong with loving my neighbor and hating my enemy? First, let me say there is nothing wrong with loving our neighbor. In fact, the law of Moses commands us to love our neighbor. In Leviticus, we read, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself." Later in the book of Matthew, Jesus affirms the importance of this command when he says that loving God and loving our neighbor are the two commands which support the entire law. In the Gospel of John, Jesus states that our love for each other within the church is critical to the world knowing that we are his disciples. In John 13, we read, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus commands and expects us to love our neighbor. When we think loving our neighbor is enough, that is the problem. When we think that loving our neighbor gives us permission to hate our enemies, the problem is worse. Jesus deepens our understanding of the problem by saying, if we only love those who love us, we're like tax collectors. Even today, no one likes to pay taxes. We dedicate whole professions to helping us exploit tax law and pay as little as we can to the tax man. Jews despised tax collectors. Rome hired Jews to collect taxes on the local population. The problem was that tax collectors overtaxed the people to maximize their personal profit. The writings of the rabbis consistently linked tax collectors with robbers. Rome built the tax collection system upon dishonesty and oppression of one's neighbor. Jews considered tax collectors not only traitors to the nation, but traitors to God. In doing this, Jesus makes those of us who say we love our neighbor but then hate our enemies to be the enemy. We are no better than tax collectors who, as enemies of the people, take advantage of their neighbors. Jesus is saying to us, if we only love those who love us, we're no better than those who abuse us, because even abusers love those who love them. Jesus says in verse 47, and I'm going to paraphrase here, "Look, if you are friendly only to people like you, that's not enough. Even the pagans, or literally the Gentiles, do that." The Greek word translated pagan or Gentile means someone outside of a relationship with God and his people, an unbeliever. An unbeliever stands as an enemy to God. By pressing the point here, Jesus highlights the idea that to only love those who love us is a betrayal of God. What is wrong with loving our neighbors and hating our enemy? Loving our neighbor while hating our enemy makes us no better than those who mistreat us and falls short of God's requirement of love. The bottom line is that when we love our neighbor and hate our enemy, we become our enemy's enemy and an enemy to God, and we undermine the trust of our neighbors because they can never be certain when we might turn on them. That is because our love is not constant, but our love is contingent on who we perceive to be our enemy. This leads us to our second question. Why should I love my enemy? In verse 46, Jesus says, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get?" This is a clear statement that there is no reward for those who only love those who love them. Nevertheless, it also implies that there is a reward for those who love their neighbor and who love their enemies. What is that reward? Jesus tells us in verse 45, "We should love our enemies because this proves we are children of our Father in heaven." Our reward is the confirmation that we are children of God. This is like what Jesus teaches in John's Gospel when Jesus says that our love for each other shows the world that we are His disciples. Here Jesus is saying that when His disciples love their enemies, we show that we are children of our Heavenly Father. Jesus explains this by saying in verse 45 that God, our Father, causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. God, our Father, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In short, the Father loves everyone. He loves the good person and the evil person. God loves the righteous person and the unrighteous person. Therefore, God acts for the well-being for all persons, whether they are good or evil, whether they are righteous or unrighteous. Here we see God's common grace and common mercy at work. God, in His forbearing love, does not bring upon humankind the judgment we deserve, but He sustains all humankind, blessing us so that we flourish in this life. The Father does this for those who love Him and for those who do not love Him. God loves His neighbor, those who are close to Him in their heart. God loves His enemies, those who are far from Him in their heart. God does what is good and right by His neighbor and what is good and right by His enemies. God's love is consistent. It is never contingent. One of the eternal torturing regrets of those who spend eternity in hell will be the eternal remembrance that every day of their life on this earth, the God they rejected sustained them with His goodness and love. The point Jesus makes is that when we love everyone, our neighbors and our enemies, we show that we are like our Father. The Apostle John puts it this way: God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God is in them. This leads to our last question. How can I love my enemy? Jesus gives us two ways we can love our enemy. First, pray for those who persecute us. Second, be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. I want to touch on both of these ways to love our enemies. I will take them in reverse order. First, we love our enemies by being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. When we hear, quote, "be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect," end quote, we just naturally want to freak out. We know we can never reach the perfections of God. But that is not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is not calling us to be perfect in every sense that God is perfect. The perfection Jesus calls us to is to make loving people like God loves people the constant aim of our lives. Jesus is saying that we are perfect when we make it our intention to love everyone, our neighbors and our enemies, the good persons and the evil persons, the righteous and the unrighteous. We pursue this kind of love for all persons by doing what God does. Like our Father, we make it our intention to pursue the well-being of everyone as far as it lies within our power and means to do so. Jesus teaches us that the second way we love our enemies is by praying for them. How shall we pray for them? There are many ways that we can pray for our enemies. This morning I want to call our attention to two ways that Jesus taught and lived out praying for enemies. The first way to pray is to pray that we will forgive them for the harm they do to us, just as the Father has forgiven us for the harm we have done to Him. This is clear in the Lord's Prayer, which we will take up after Christmas. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, quote, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." A clearer translation would be, quote, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us," end quote. This is a simple prayer that goes like this, for example. "Father, help me forgive the sin Jim committed against me just as completely as you have forgiven all my sins against you." The second prayer is Jesus' words from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We can pray for our enemies first by asking God to help us forgive them as He has forgiven us. Then we can pray that God will forgive them completely in the same way that He has forgiven us completely. God can only answer that prayer if they come to Him and receive the grace of His salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for their sins. We can enlarge our prayer to something like this. "Father, help me forgive Jim completely, just as you have forgiven all of my sins completely. As you have forgiven me because of Jesus' death for my sins, I pray Jim will come to know your complete forgiveness by faith in your only Son, Jesus Christ." Extending forgiveness to our enemies for the harm they do to us, and praying that our enemies will experience God's forgiveness for their sins through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, is at least the first two steps in loving our enemies. This is the kind of love that pursues the well-being of all persons and is connected to Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4 on giving, which we'll take up Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. And we'll conclude our journey through Matthew for 2020. Let us pray. So, Father, this day we ask that you will help us to be merciful to others as you have been merciful to us, even those who intensely dislike us and those whom we have a tendency to intensely dislike. We pray, Father, for the grace to love them and to pray for them, to pray that we will be able to forgive them for the sins that they commit against us. And Lord, that you will forgive them for the sins that they commit against us and that they commit against you by coming to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and giving themselves wholly and completely to you so that we may be united together with them as a brother or as a sister in the Lord, together loving you and loving our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.